6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. The director of Dallas County Health and Human Services has been fired. Zachary Thompson was terminated yesterday, according to Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins. The judge gave no explanation in a statement issued this afternoon. Thompson had been set to retire at the end of the month. About 124,000 so-called Dreamers in Texas are looking to Congress for an answer about their futures. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals is an executive order that protects about 700,000 Dreamers across the country from deportation. DACA is set to expire in March. Brian Smith is a political science professor at St. Edward's University in Austin. He talked with Texas Standard guest host Laura Rice about what could happen to DACA in Congress.
Do you think Republicans and Democrats can find middle ground easily here?
There is the potential for middle ground, but both parties are very far apart on what they actually want in an ideal world. The Democrats want a clean DREAM Act. They want it to be voted upon, put into law just on the DREAM Act. The Republicans, they want a separate immigration bill that's going to address the DREAM Act and also take care of all their priorities that they ran on, including ending chain migration, the visa lottery, maybe E-Verify, definitely a border wall.
Do we know how likely it is that that will be a big negotiating point in this process?
The wall, I think, might be one of the first things to go. But for Donald Trump, that's always been one of his signature pieces. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where he's going to see a lot of conflict within his own party, that the Northeastern Republicans who are up for re-election, not living on the border, they're the ones that are going to be the ones who first say, you know what, let's not do the wall. So he's going to have to get his whole party online with the wall. And that's going to be very difficult because there's a lot of diverse opinions, even within the Republican Party, on the wall.
There are some rumors that a deal could be close. Apparently, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says he's co-authored a bill with Democratic Senator Dick Durbin, which would include a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers. Do we know how real that deal is or how likely it is to get other support?
Well, there's so much on Congress's table right now, including that the government could run out of money in about 2 weeks. So that's the most pressing issue. So the question for both the Democrats and Republicans, do you want to try to tie this into a bigger funding bill? Do you want to do it separately? And that means that it becomes very difficult because there's so many priorities out there on the table.
What happens to them if Congress doesn't come up with a measure before this deadline?
If Congress does not come up with a measure before the deadline, then the DREAM Act is officially not law, the DACA is totally repealed, and that these people now are in the United States without authorization. And then it becomes, what is our national immigration system going to do with these people?
That was Professor Brian Smith with St. Edward's University talking with Laura Rice with Texas Standard. Now to think. And jellyfish. There are more than 2,000 species of jellyfish swimming the world's waters. And while jellyfish have been around for more than half a billion years, there's still much scientists don't know about them. Today on Think, guest host Lauren Silverman talked with Julie Burwald about why jellyfish have been tricky to understand.
For most of the 20th century, once we started looking at the oceans the way we do today, which is using research vessels, which have motors, and the scientists going out on a research vessel will throw a net overboard and then drag it behind their boat and then winch it up and dump everything on the back of the boat and then count what's in there. That's how we sample the ocean. Well, jellyfish don't tolerate that kind of treatment. We have systematically biased our understanding of the ocean to things that can handle that kind of harsh treatment. And so jellyfish have been systematically understudied for the entire 20th century. A reason why we don't really understand whether they're taking over the oceans or not is because we don't have a good baseline. And we're used to the ocean being this diverse place with all these big fish around. And if it's shifting to one that's dominated by jellyfish, I think that signals an enormous change in our understanding of ocean ecosystems and one that most people aren't very comfortable with.
Julie Burwald is the author of Spineless, The Science of Jellyfish and the Art of Growing a Backbone. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Houses have been popping up all over Oak Cliff. These aren't the luxury apartment complexes you might see in Bishop Arts. In fact, you won't see construction crews working on these because they pop up so fast. In this week's Art and Seek Artist Spotlight, Hadi Mawagdi follows artist Giovanni Valderas as he responds to Oak Cliff's gentrification.
It's a cold morning in Dallas, and it's a holiday. But artist Giovanni Valderas is hard at work.
So when I start these, I try to have my tissue paper cut in advance. And I like to start at the feet, the patas, as my mom would say.
It's early, and Valderis, who's a gallerist and an adjunct professor at Mountain View College, still has sleep in his eyes as he rummages through neon-colored tissue paper.
I try to use colors that are associated with the neighborhood I live in and I've grown up in. So these bright oranges and bright greens, I think, symbolize my community, but also symbolizes hope.
Valderis is creating a sculpture of sorts. It's a piñata, and the piñata looks like a little house with a sad face, kind of like an unhappy Thomas the Tank Engine.
What I like about the piñata is that there's this kind of subversiveness to it, right? In the beginning, it's really fun and festive, and you look at it, and then you start to get it.
He calls these pieces casita tristes, that is, little sad houses.
I'd love to put one here, but it'd probably disappear really quickly.
They're his response to the wildfire gentrification of Oak Cliff. Big new housing developments go up, and Valderis places his sad little paper houses right in front of them.
Right.
Valderis is part Guatemalan, part Mexican-American. He lives in an area of Oak Cliff that's mostly Latino, and many of his neighbors are in danger of being priced out of the area, and they feel overlooked.
I think one of the most valuable things about Giovanni's work is he is creating a public voice for a larger community.
That's Janelle Engelstad. She runs an organization called Make Art with Purpose. They use art to advance social causes, and she thinks Valderis's little houses could have a big impact.
There is great potential and value for Giovanni's project to grow out of Oak Cliff, because this is not a small neighborhood problem. This is a national problem.
Sandy Rollins, the executive director of the Texas Tenants Union, agrees. Rollins works to help low-income people find better living conditions and to stay in their homes. And she says more people are finding that harder and harder to do.
We've worked with a lot of people who have been displaced. We've seen it happen in Oak Lawn. We've seen it happen in Northeast Dallas. It's happening right now in Vickery Meadow.
Rollins says new construction is one reason land values and rents are going up, and that makes it harder to stay in the neighborhood. The Economic Policy Institute estimates if you make minimum wage, $7.25 an hour, your entire paycheck would barely cover a year's rent at an average Dallas apartment. You'd have nothing for utilities, food, transportation, or even clothing.
There is not enough affordable housing in this city, and I think people are angry at the city's role in facilitating the displacement of longtime residents.
Again, here's Giovanni Valderis.
For me, it's scary that there is this kind of cultural and community erasure that's happening. You know, like, we want to capitalize off your culture, but you can't be here at the same time.
Valderis hopes the Casita Tristes spark conversation about affordable housing and the gentrification of communities, specifically in Oak Cliff. He wants people to reach out to the Dallas City Council and to demand more funding go towards helping low-income individuals. Valderis says he doesn't want growth to stall in his community. He just wants it to be organic. He says Latinos invested in Oak Cliff by opening paleterias, bakeries, and mechanic shops. Those businesses made the area attractive, and he doesn't want them to go away.
I think this is a really important moment that we're in, because I think a lot of individuals have taken notice. And I think with these casita tristes, these sad little houses, it can spark that conversation.
Judging from social media, the conversation has started. People are posting photos and sharing the message. Some have even taken the sad little houses and placed them on their porch as a sign of solidarity.
Lost a leg.
Valderis says his casitas are moving faster than he can put them out. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Check out a video of Valderis's casitas. That's at artandseek.org. Right now it's 48 degrees in Dallas and 51 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.